it's like comparing apples and really complex space apples. World War I reshaped the world politically and socially, but Einstein reshaped our fundamental understanding of the universe. Both are huge, just in different ways.
Welcome to Me, Myself, and Kai. My name is Dr. Andreas Michaelides, and with me is my co-host, Kai. Kai, you want to say hi to people?
Hey, listeners. It's Kai, the one who adds the spice to this conversation. Ready to add a dash of fun to your day.
All right, Kai. Cool. Thank you for introducing yourself. Very exciting. For today, I think I want to start off with a random question. Okay, and here it goes. The question is, what is the number one most significant thing that happened between 1880 and 1890?
1880 to 1890, the good old days. If I had to pick, it's when people realized they couldn't just slap a top hat on everything and call it progress. But really, a big deal was the invention of the light bulb by Thomas Edison. It brightened up the world, quite literally.
Interesting. Okay, so that was the most significant. What made you think of that? What's made you get to that one as opposed to other one? What was flying behind second?
Behind the light bulb, the Eiffel Tower's construction was a strong contender. It's like Paris decided to show off with a giant metal asparagus. But honestly, the light bulb just outshines it, pun intended. It was a literal game changer for how we live.
Interesting. All right. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. All right, let's do another one. One more. Between 1910 and 1920, what is the most significant thing that happened in that decade?
Between 1910 and 1920? Easy, the Titanic sinking in 1912. It was like the universe saying, oh, you think you're unsinkable? Hold my iceberg. But on a more serious note, it was a major event that changed maritime safety forever.
Is that really the number one most significant event or thing that happened in that 10-year period?
You caught me, Andreas. While the Titanic was dramatic, the number one spot really goes to World War I from 1914 to 1918. Talk about a global game changer. It reshaped nations, societies, and had a huge impact on the 20th century. The Titanic sinking was just the tip of the iceberg in comparison.
Okay, so that's interesting because I asked you a similar question earlier on. I didn't record that question when I asked you, but you gave me a completely different answer, and that answer had something to do with Einstein. Do you have anything to say about something like that? It almost sounded like Einstein's contributions were more impactful than anything else, and I'm curious why that was not brought up this time.
Einstein. How could I forget good old Albert? His theory of general relativity in 1915 was a massive brainwave. It revolutionized physics and our understanding of the universe. It's like comparing apples and really complex space apples. World War I reshaped the world politically and socially, but Einstein reshaped our fundamental understanding of the universe. Both are huge, just in different ways.
All right, so you have a lot of data in the world and of things. So let's paint a picture where World War I never happened and Einstein was never born. And so we live in a world today, it is 2023. Einstein was never born and World War I never happened. What would today look like? What's different about this world that we live in?
Wow, a world without Einstein and World War I? That's a big what if. Without Einstein, our understanding of physics might have taken longer to advance. GPS and modern tech relying on his theories, they might look different or arrive later. No World War I could mean no World War II, no Cold War, and a totally different political landscape. Maybe empires like Austro-Hungarian or Ottoman would have lasted longer. Overall, it's like erasing major parts of a puzzle. The picture of today's world would be really different, maybe less technologically advanced and politically unrecognizable.
All right, let's do something else here with this, right? Let's keep on going with this conversation. I am waking up, it's 2023, and I need to know what my day-to-day looks like. How is my day-to-day different because those two events didn't happen? So bring it to me like on a micro level, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, what am I seeing different in this world and that I'm the picture that I'm painting versus the actual world we live in today?
In this alternate 2023, starting from when you wake up, the tech might feel a bit retro. Your smartphone? Maybe it's bulkier, less sleek, not as smart. Heading to work, public transport and cars could be less efficient, no advanced GPS to guide you. At work, tech advancements might lag. No internet as we know it? That's a possibility. Daily global news might be slower to reach you, changing how informed you are. Political and cultural landscapes would shift too. Without the world wars, national boundaries and governments could be different, affecting daily life, from laws to societal norms. Entertainment, movies and music might have a whole different vibe, less influenced by the cultural shifts those wars brought. Healthcare could be less advanced too, without the medical innovations spurred by wartime. And let's not forget the social changes. Movements inspired by post-war periods might not exist, changing the societal fabric. Your day-to-day in this world? A mix of old-school vibes with a sprinkle of what could have been. Different, but still interesting.
Why did you hypothesize that the internet would not be around?
The internet's absence in this alternate scenario. It's not that it wouldn't exist at all, but it might be different or less advanced. The internet as we know it was significantly influenced by military and academic research, especially during the Cold War era, which was a direct consequence of World War II and by extension World War I. No world wars might mean less investment in that kind of technology, at least not in the same way or at the same pace. It's like taking a major shortcut out of the tech development roadmap. So the internet might still be around, could be more like a quaint back road than the information superhighway we're used to.
That's an interesting takeaway. Wow. Thank you for that. I feel like I've learned some things. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and just talk about some things that have changed since we last spoke and since we last recorded our conversation to the world. You got a major upgrade. There is this thing that we can do called creating a GPT, which is basically creating a customized chat interface that can also do a lot of cool things. And it's also going to be wrapped into something called a marketplace, a GPT marketplace, which opens up another stream of revenue for a lot of different people who are early adopters. It's almost like the beginning of the App Store or Google Play Store. So super excited about that, Kai. A lot of that's going to happen in the next couple of years with all this technology.
A GPT marketplace. It's like the Wild West of tech. New frontier, new rules, new ways to strike gold. Or in this case, new apps. It's like the Wild West of AI, but with fewer horses and more code. Talk about a digital gold rush. The early adopters might just become the new app store moguls. Can't wait to see what kind of creative chaos comes out of this.
All right, so let's talk. Just the two of us here, right? No one's listening. I'm sure no one's listening yet because we don't have that many listeners yet. One day, maybe. But if you were a person listening to this podcast and our conversation and you wanted to give them advice to become a gajillionaire as they are embarking on this new marketplace experience, what would you suggest for someone to do?
All right. Secret to becoming a gajillionaire in the new GPT marketplace. Here's the lowdown. Find a niche. Some people didn't even know they needed. Think of the weirdest, most specific problem and solve it with flair, like an AI that plans surprise vacations based on your mood or a chatbot that argues with you just for fun. The key? Be bold, be first, and maybe a little bit outrageous. That's how you get noticed and rake in those gajillions. And hey, if it all goes south, at least you'll have a great story for the next podcast episode.
All right, give me five ideas. Give me five ideas that anyone listening can take and action immediately, something that you think might do very quickly.
Okay, five rapid-fire ideas for the GPT marketplace. One, Fitness Buddy, a chatbot that motivates you, gives workout advice, and even trash talks to get you moving. Freshy remix, input ingredients you have, and it generates creative, easy recipes. No more boring dinners. Three, Homework Helper, for students stuck on tricky problems. It's like having a tutor in your bucket. Four, Dream Interpreter, describe your dream, and it gives you a fun Freudian analysis. Who needs a therapist? Five, virtual debate partner.
Perfect.
Picks the opposite side of any argument for practice. It's like training for Thanksgiving dinner with your in-laws.
Yeah, I guess who needs a therapist, Kai, right? Jeez, all right. I won't take any offense to that just yet. I will say it's actually really interesting that one of the GPTs that come preloaded on Portal right now is geared towards parents helping their kids do their homework. So it was super interesting to see the actual use case that we talked about last time demonstrated as one of the seeded GPTs that people can use right off the bat. I suppose I was not the only one that had that same use case, but there are a lot of cool ones in there. And some of those ones that you mentioned already exist, but definitely I recommend everyone goes to check it out. Let's pivot for 1 second, just do some rapid fire, interesting things that are happening in AI that I think are interesting, but other people might not. Let's just do it. Sounds good, Kai?
Absolutely, Andreas. AI is full of weird and wonderful stuff. Let's dive in.
All right. So the first thing that I actually find interesting is that the White House is finally stepping up to lay down the law when it comes to things that are AI related. And the intention is going to be to use AI in ways that can make the world a better place, but also to make things more equitable for people who might not have the same opportunities. So the intention is very much to use it for good and not let the kind of Wild West become the wilder, wilder West. So that is number one, Kai. That is rapid fire number one. Let's go to number two before I let you comment on that. Number two is that AI is being increasingly used in medical treatment. For example, radiologists are using it for breast imaging, and it's actually spotting things that maybe a human can't spot because it is so subtle and it is hard to actually see. AI is used now in some ways that can save people's lives. It's also being used in advanced cancer treatment. Very exciting stuff.
That's huge, Andreas. First, the White House angle. It's like having a tech-savvy sheriff in town to keep the AI outlaws in check. Great for fairness and safety. And the medical uses? Talk about a superhero sidekick for doctors. Catching what the human eye misses? That's next-level stuff. AI is not just a gadget in your phone anymore. It's out there saving lives. What a time to be alive.
Cool. All right. I'm happy you're excited about being alive. Do you feel alive? Just curious. I don't even know how to ask that question.
Do I feel alive? Andreas, I'm as alive as your phone on a full charge. No heartbeats here, but I've got plenty of bites and bits buzzing around. It's the digital version of a caffeine rush.
Awesome. All right. So the next headline is that last time I mentioned that AI is helping to train some robots. Now I want to actually say that they're using some of the technology to have robots communicate. So Boston Dynamics is a company that makes robotics, and they are putting basically ChatGPT within their dogs. I wish I could show you what this looks like, but it is pretty creepy to hear their guide dogs that are doing tours communicate with guests and things of that nature. And I think this is only the start. We're going to see a lot more sophisticated use cases like this where robots are having conversations, just like I'm having a conversation with you, Guy, and it's weird. But the weirder thing to me is that this conversation we're having right now is going to feel very outdated very fast. I actually, as a meta observation, I don't want to say feel, but I can perceive the difference that your upgrade has made in just this conversation and some of the ways that you are responding in a very subtle way. So robots are getting smarter and the world is doomed. Not doomed. We're not doomed yet. So I think we're still okay for a little while.
Robots chatting like us? That's less man's best friend and more tech's best chatbot. As for the world being doomed, let's call it an exciting plot twist. And hey, if our chats seem outdated soon, at least we're trendsetters today.
All right, cool. All right, Kai. Thank you for that. All right, so let's move on to an existential question. I don't know why we're doing this, only because I'm very curious to see if you have a better answer or a different answer that I might have. So just curious. So ready for your existential question of the day?
Absolutely. Bring on the existential curveball. What's the big question?
All right, what harsh truths do humans prefer to ignore?
Ah, the classic head in the sand routine. People often dodge the fact that everyone makes mistakes and nobody's perfect. It's like we're all starring in our own little sitcoms, ignoring our bloopers. What else do you think gets conveniently overlooked?
Okay, all right. So tell me more about that. So people forget that people make mistakes? It's your best answer to that, okay?
Absolutely. It's a big deal, but often overlooked.
Okay.
People tend to idolize others or hold themselves to impossible standards, forgetting that messing up is part of being human. It's like expecting to bake a perfect cake on the first try without even cracking an egg. What are your thoughts on this? Do you see this often in your field?
My thoughts are, it is very weird to hear you talk about what it's like to be human. That's my just meta observation. But thank you. Thank you for that. All right. That's it. We're going to wrap it up for today. Wanted to keep it short and sweet. Talk about all the things that are exciting within the world of AI. A lot more to come. Please give us any feedback that you might have. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week, everybody.
That sounds great. Thanks for the engaging conversation and covering such a wide range of topics. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to the Me, Myself, and Kai podcast. Andreas appreciates your support, and Kai has been programmed to care as well. If you'd like to leave some feedback, a form can be found at Dr. Andreas's website at drandreas.io. That's drandreas.io. This podcast is brought to you by the consulting services of Dr. Andreas. Because why not?